Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and call the November board meeting to order. And Kurt, would you like to start us off with a prayer?
Heavenly Father, we lift up our Deer Springs Ranch to you. We lift up our membership to you that we may have a peaceful, communicative meeting, productive, and helping this ranch move forward in positive ways that can please everyone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so we're going to do a roll call of the board. Board members, please unmute so we can hear you. Bart?
Here.
Kurt Jacobson?
Present.
Larry Clarkson?
Fabulous.
Michael Jordison?
Here.
And Scott Kohler?
I'm here.
Right. John Harris has a wedding of a niece today, so he will not be joining us, but we do have a quorum. Okay, so again, the Zoom meeting is being recorded. So if you are, when you unmute yourself to speak when it's your turn, please state your name so that the transcription will capture who was speaking at the time. Scott, do you have minutes?
The minutes from the last meeting, we proposed that is there any corrections that anybody seems to think needs to be made, or?
I didn't receive any information that there were corrections needed.
So I propose that we pass the meetings as sent out. Anybody oppose?
Board members, please unmute yourself so I can take your vote. Bart?
Yes.
Kurt?
I approve.
Larry?
Approve.
Michael?
Approve.
Scott? Well, Scott, that's you.
And I approve.
All right. And it passed unanimously.
It did.
Oh, did we get a second?
Thank you.
Still so new at this.
I will second Scott's proposal that the minutes be accepted as written.
Thank you, Larry. Okay, Michael, let's go to you for a treasurer's report.
All right. Over the past month, I finally now have access to QuickBooks and some of the other accounts. I've done some research on some expense accounts and vendors. I pulled reports for year-to-date. Other accounts I pulled just the past month. I did this for two reasons. First, I needed to understand how the books were laid out, how things went, so I could work with bookkeeping in some sort of educated manner. Second, I was researching items where I had questions. Several things came out of this process. I was able to put together a rough budget for next year. This is still under review. We hopefully will have that finalized by next month. Second, financially, the ranch is in a good place. We do have some large expenses coming up that have already been approved, but we have plenty, you know, capital to cover those expenses, which is why they were approved prior to my tenure. There were questions about board members receiving payments for doing their board duties. And I researched every board member currently, went through reimbursements, every transaction, and I can say that no board member has ever received a payment, or at least current board members, have received any money for doing their board duties. And I'm going to put it out there that if anybody still has questions and want me to look into prior board members, I will be happy to pull the reports. Finally, and I'm speaking all of this strictly from the treasurer's perspective, nothing else. The office admin position was separated into three positions, and I only bring this up, you know, as the treasurer's perspective. Those three roles were assigned tasks and duties, and a value was determined for each position. The total cost to the ranch and the members, the increase, was $3,000 annually. This went from $18,000 a year to $21,000 a year. This is about a 15% increase. We all would love a 15% raise, but that doesn't happen often. And it seems like a lot until you consider a couple of things. Those job duties really amount to an office administrator. And if you look at the medium salary, according to federal government, for an office administrator, it's between $40,000 and $50,000 a year. Many of the job hunting websites, Indeed, Glassdoor, have those numbers substantially higher. Second thing is the cost of living gone up. You know, we all have felt the pinch at the pumps, the grocery store, pretty much any purchase you make. Conservative estimates of the cost of living are at about 9.1%. So I think the ranch currently is getting a bargain, and I appreciate all that they're doing for that little pay.
Michael, sorry, for clarity's sake, that increase, when did that come about?
That was last meeting, I believe. It may have been prior to even me on the board.
It was. I just wanted everybody to be clear on that this was something that was voted on by a previous board.
Okay. And I'm just going off the budget figures that I have that I've researched from last year to this year and previous, so that's information I didn't have.
Thank you.
All right. And I'll take any questions related strictly to finances.
Michael, I have a question about in the this is Jeff Collins, lot 121. In the actual versus budget paper that was sent over?
Yes.
There's a line item under roads that says services. We've spent $20,000 and some change. Do we know what that was spent on and to whom?
Sure. A good portion of it was to Pierce Excavation for corrections and screening gravel. There was some to Larry for clearing some roads and grading some roads and updating things that I felt went into that budget. And there are some to Scutumpah Enterprises. I don't have all the numbers in front of me. I didn't pull specific reports. I'm just going off of memory.
And Scutumpah Enterprises is the gravel pit?
Yes. And some of that has been adjusted and moved more specifically to accurately. I mean, it's still all under the roads budget, so the total numbers are still the same. But some of those invoices have been moved to an expense account that more accurately reflects where it is, and you'll see those adjustments on next year's budget. Or on next month's. As I print it out and send it out.
Okay. And then my other question was about the three jobs split up that you were just talking about.
Okay.
So the previous budgets had Mariah, who was the office administrator, at $15,000 and some change. And then when Mariah left and Jennifer took over, the budget changed to $18,000 and some change. Now you're saying it's $21,000 and some change. So that's actually a $6,000 pay increase.
No. Mariah was 2021. Jennifer was in 2022. And I'll give you actual budgets number, Jeff, if you'd like them. So we double paid Jennifer and Mariah for 6 months in 2021 from January to May. And that's a huge increase for last year that was unaccounted for. So, yes, the going forward budget right now is $21,000.
Okay.
And that covers all three positions. That covers all three roles and duties.
So you're saying that 2021's budget, I mean, that was when Mariah was here, right?
Mirai was still contracted through May or June of 2021. And both Mariah and Jennifer were paid during that period.
Okay, that part I don't quite get, but the budget numbers were not 15,000 and some change back in 2021 for the office administrator position.
I would have to go grab it. I don't know for sure.
Okay, because so the 2020 and 2021 and 2022 budgets are not on the website. Stops at 2019. So the only access that members really have is old emails with the budget attached to a meeting agenda. That's where I find those budgets, because they're not easily accessible.
That was before my tenure. I don't know how to answer that question.
Right, okay.
I can only give you what I took accountable for over the last 30 days, basically.
Heck.
Michael, this is Kathy Pierce. I know that there was some that was paid because of the website that was increased to Mariah. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, so there was the website also.
I do have them in front of me, and there was no payments made to Mariah outside of her contracted amount.
Okay.
I researched that out thoroughly.
So we have not paid her for the website improvements. We were supposed to get a new website.
So you were on the board then, and I have no idea beyond what was done in the meeting minutes for that. So you may have more insight than I do. However, I will tell you that there are no expenses beyond paying for the HOA start fee to have a new website. There were no outside fees paid to Mariah or anybody else beyond that. And that was $895. $835, something like that.
And where do we stand on the website now?
I will get to that in my brief report of area responsibilities.
Oh, okay. All right. Just a question.
Nope, that's good. Questions are always welcome.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions for the treasurer? All right, then, Kurt, would you please give a property management report?
I will. The we installed Starlink, and per the executive meeting, I was told that I am coming across broadcasting much clearer. People can hear better. The performance at headquarters is better. It's something that I've shared with members who can use it. It actually expands pretty much throughout headquarters. Instead of walking out the front door not having internet, it's kind of nice to be able to be out and about and still be able to respond to people. Second big thing is cabin renovations, and we have cabin 9 and 10 underway. They're both well on the way to being torn, the old stuff's being torn out, the demolition part. Kevin Poole is doing cabin 10. Nick Williams is doing cabin 9, and I went and picked up their lumber and hardware. We're replacing some of the joists that are holding the cabin in place, where the comment has been made over the years that 10 is falling off the hill. It's really not. It's actually imploding, so to speak, in the center. It's lower than the outer part, so we're going to level all those out. And all the lumber for framing package has been delivered to the cabins, and we're well on our way to getting those under construction. The finish date goal is April 1st on those two cabins.
And I'm any questions? Any questions for Kurt?
Hey, Kurt, this is Mike McNichols. Good to hear your voice. Good to talk to you. I have one quick question.
Okay, Mike.
You mentioned that we recently purchased lumber. How are the lumber prices? I know they were through the roof for, you know, a long time, but I've also heard that they might be coming down. How did we do in the lumber pricing?
Boy, they crashed. Home Depot right now, you can get 2x4x8 Doug Fir for $4.75. I went to Lumber Plus in town, and they were $6.29. I also ordered the pressure-treated lumber through them and everything, and the prices are down quite a bit. That wasn't really worth a day and fuel to go to Home Depot and buy it there. I just bought it through town. But, yeah, I was very pleasantly surprised.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you for checking around and doing that and getting it and saving the ranch some money. Appreciate that.
I'll tell you, last year at this time, prices were about where they are now. And by spring, they were right back up to ridiculous prices. So if you need lumber, buy it now. That's all I have.
Hey, Kurt, yeah. This is Karen Fry. Karen and Randy Fry. Hi, how are you?
Good.
Quick question on the Starlink. I was actually on HughesNet with Bob Becker and Vance Green, and I was unaware of the transition. How do we link on to the Skylink or Starlink?
Starlink at headquarters?
Yeah. So it only is at headquarters. So
yeah.
We're not able to use it as members then at our own places.
No, but you're welcome to come to headquarters, and I'll give you the password, and there's plenty of room for everybody to Tim and Michelle come and do their emails, and it's nice they can sit in their truck where it's warm and handle their business.
You'll want to download the Starlink app if you have accessibility first.
Yeah, you do need to download the app. No.
No.
You just need the password. You just need the password.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah. I have the apps downloaded on my phone, and Brent and I put it up. It didn't take a half an hour, and mostly stringing it through the trees. But it's very simple to install, and I would encourage anybody. A lot of people are getting it up here, and I'd encourage anybody. For $20 a month more, I know Cindy and Roger Olson have roaming, and they can take their internet with them wherever they go.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I don't have a phone, but you could not have gotten HughesNet from Johnny Brown to headquarters. Now, it may have been being pushed through some sort of dish, or I've seen on the website the antenna that you can buy and point if you've got line of sight. You could not have gotten the ranch HughesNet from Johnny. That's too far.
I couldn't even get the ranch HughesNet on the front porch.
Yeah. So
yes, it was on a different, program. So
okay. Wanted to make that clear that switching to Starlink didn't disable access to anybody, because it shouldn't have.
It increased,
okay,
actually.
That's good to know. So, okay, thank you so much.
Thanks, Karen.
Uh-huh. Any other questions for Kurt? All right, then I'd like to move on to new business. We are still working on the reorganization of the administrative duties, and I want to reiterate the reason for doing this is that over the years, the administrative position has become kind of a catch-all. Anybody who didn't, you know, if you were on the board and you didn't want to do certain things, you asked the admin to do it. I'm not saying you, anybody in particular, just the position grew and grew because whatever loose ends we have, we just tossed to the admin. And the job, because Mariah was doing it for years, as it grew, she just kind of absorbed some of it and was just, I mean, we all know how great Mariah was at her job. And then when Jennifer took it over, she was told it was, you know, 15 hours a week, maybe. And that she found out rather quickly that that was not the case. It was more like 30 or 40. And the pay, not that she was doing it for the pay, but the pay was kind of ridiculous for everything she was being asked to do. It was far more than somebody, especially somebody with a full-time position, could do. Her suggestion, and even Mariah's at the time, that when Mariah left, she made a suggestion that it be broken up because the cabin reservations was such a huge job, a huge part of the admin job, that her suggestion at that time was to break it up into two positions. When Jennifer took it over, her suggestion was to break it up into four. And as this board has looked at it, we've decided to break it up into three and have the board absorb some of the responsibilities that had gotten passed off to the admin that really the board should be taking responsibility for. So that's kind of some background on it. I was trying to take on some of the admin work in addition to cabins. Michael was we were looking at having Michael take on certain things, and maybe getting somebody else. And it finally just, as Jennifer and I worked on some things, and the board talked about a few issues that came up, it really became evident that we needed a record keeper and a bookkeeper. And if that was the same person, that would save a lot of time, and just be a lot easier. So the board has appointed Danielle to be record keeper in addition to bookkeeper. That means that she is holding all the physical copies of our records. She is the one that is, for example, these meeting minutes are being recorded, and she will maintain the copy of that. She maintains copies of all the meetings, posting on the website. There's a lot of behind the scenes, unappreciated or underappreciated work that has to be done. And we believe Danielle is up to it. She has agreed to do it, and we have given her that authority. So at some point during the month between the last meeting and this meeting, some members had asked about contracts. They wanted to see the contracts of the people that the contract employees that were doing these positions and others. And it came to light that we never have had contracts for any of this work. We do have a contract with the property manager. We've had that in place for 3 years now, I think. But there are not contracts for people that are doing, for example, for the admin. So since we don't have that, we aren't able to provide those. But because we have ended up with these bloated, basically untenable positions, and we're now carving those out and defining them, I'm gonna go ahead and recuse myself from this point on. I'm gonna state what was brought up as a possible thing to vote on in front of the membership. And then I'm going to recuse myself from the rest of the discussion. So, Larry, please unmute so you can take over. But we did discuss that it probably would be a good idea to go ahead and create contracts, even though we haven't had them in the past for the administrative positions, that it would be a good idea to have those in writing and have accurate descriptions of what the job is and what the requirements are and what the pay is for that. So you want to go ahead and take it over, Larry?
Sure. I want to point out again historically that the positions of admin have been filled for years and years, starting back with Linda Alderman and then her daughter Mariah and then on to Jennifer without any formal contract or agreement. I agree that it basically would be help us all clearly define what is that position and what they are responsible for. If we do have some form of a contract, then we can better track what's being done and what's being paid for it. And through that contract, provide more accountability to the members, or have the ability to answer any members' questions if there are any. I don't know if there's specific questions at this point that anybody has.
I have a question.
Comments from other board members?
Larry, Jeff Collins.
Okay, go ahead, Jeff.
So what exactly are the three positions that is being split up into? Record keeper, bookkeeper, and...
reservation.
Reservations? Okay. So who's doing, like, votes, counting votes and all that stuff? Who does that fall on?
Since this is all new, that has not been determined.
Is that...
It's the record keeper.
Record keeper. Yeah, from the documents we've got in progress, it's the record keeper.
Okay. Because it certainly shouldn't be a board member.
It's the record keeper.
Okay.
I know it's not going to be me. Any other questions or comments? Part of what we're trying to do is define what these roles are and separate out of a list. Jennifer, actually, Mariah had created a list that probably had 50 items on it. And Jennifer has added to that and clarified that. So there's probably 60 or 70 items that are taken care of by a person that has taken on all of these roles. And now we're trying to sort out which basket does each individual line item fall into. Some of it's very obvious, and some of it's not so obvious. And then you start thinking, okay, who tracks vehicle titles and insurance and this, that, and the other? And to my mind, I mean, I'm the guy that sits in a tractor and pulls the lever, and it makes the boom go this way or that way. And so I'm grateful that somebody else is taking care of this. And I think it will help define, through the process that we're trying to do right now of creating some form of contract, is at least a point to start from and be able to describe to the next person that may take on that role, what are you going to be responsible for? What are you going to be paid for doing that? Then you can clearly say, yes, I'm willing to do that, or no, I'm not willing to do that. We have a starting point of what to begin to whittle away at. Possibly divide into five positions or consolidate into two positions or whatever better gets the job done for the get a good job for the membership and pay a reasonable amount to the person providing the service. Any other questions, comments?
Larry, I agree. This is Kathy. I agree that setting up a system in place for these three positions is a great idea. I think it's a good way. That way, us as members know who we need to contact for an item or an issue or a matter, and so, you know, and define what those items are. So I think it's great putting this system in place.
Thanks, Kathy.
And me coming in from never being on the board, had Mariah or Jennifer just walked up to the board and said, I'm done, I quit, and they have the right to do that, had they just walked away, we'd have been struggling to figure out everything that's going on. And that's what we're hoping to address, is the transient nature of the board and the people that are on it, being able to give them documentation of here's the buckets and you have to figure out how to work it.
There are a lot of moving parts that many people don't even know, and even myself included. I mean, I've been around on the ranch since before its inception, before it became Deer Springs Ranch. But all the things that go into just coming from a financial side, there has been responsibility of a board member treasurer that deals with finances. There's been a responsibility of a secretary type bookkeeper that makes payments and receives invoices. There's been the accountant or CPA that does more dealing with the taxes. And so there's always been three or four or five people involved. And most of us, me included, don't even know whose responsibility is that and how does it happen. In the past, we've had issues going back 5-10 years when a ranch manager wasn't getting their monthly paycheck. Who did they get to complain to? The board president, the board secretary, the board treasurer, the accountant, the CPA, which bank didn't make a payment. I can remember different specific issues, and some of you that have been around for a while can remember specific people that had a hard time, and sometimes it was the bank's problem, sometimes it was a bad account number, sometimes it was a bad phone call or just a delayed message. And so to try to get all these things in the right place and have somebody that's accountable and responsible to track things through. And so I think we're on the right track. We're not perfect. We're all learning, and hopefully we can all continue to learn. And we appreciate questions. We appreciate a critical eye. We would love to work together with everybody to help improve each of our situations. And so with that being said, if there's not any other further comments or questions, I don't know what I'm supposed to do next except kick it back to somebody else.
There was a mention that we probably should have a vote on whether or not we want to, from now on, have contracts for this work and these positions.
Well, I would make a motion that we do make a contract for services provided on an ongoing or a monthly basis. I think it's only good. It protects everybody. My fear with this motion is that then we get stuck in the thing of every little thing that comes up on the ranch, well, we've got to get a contract in place. And I just don't think that's the environment, the realistic world we live in. And so I don't know exactly how to state that in a motion. Somebody else that's better with those kind of things, Bart or Michael, you educated guys with the degrees.
Larry? Larry, yes, sir. Vance at 156, Larry. Don't worry about any of that stuff till you finish your org chart. You don't even, you're still a moving target. You know, and it would be kind of ridiculous to be fiddling with contracts when you still haven't got your hierarchy established.
I agree with that, Vance. The comment that I would like to make is I think we're moving toward more of just a figure it out as we go, but a general agreement or a general contract that would say, this is the scope of work as we understand it today. We're contracting you to accomplish this scope of work up to a particular number of hours per month for a particular number of dollars per month. It may exceed that, and that has to be reevaluated and renegotiated as we move on. Look like Bart have a comment.
Yeah, and I mean, we do this already with the certified water operator. We have an agreement in place, which is essentially a contract, and we have it with the ranch manager. I think the fear there you may have that everything we do here is going to have a contract. I mean, may not be as justified. For example, we've delegated a lot of, you know, of the infrastructure maintenance management to the ranch manager, And so if there are service contracts, you know, if somebody comes out to provide propane, you may have an agreement with AmeriGas to get something. But for if somebody is going to design a system or do some sort of work or come, you know, dig a trench, hey, dig a trench, and then they give you an invoice and you're invoiced. You know, and if it's within the breadth of the dollars they have available to them, you're not, you may not have a contract for it. It's up to the treasurer and the ranch manager to work within their authorized budget. But for things like these administrative assigned duties, which are, like you said, recurring and are almost, they're 1099 employees, essentially.
Not really. It's not really a contract as the way I look at it. This would be an offer of employment. If you go out and go to get a job, you get a letter of intent to employ you, and you can accept or reject it.
Well, and I mean, it's not an employment because they're 1099.
That's what I said. It's like that. It's a 1099 position. We're not taking taxes out, but it is akin to an offer of employment.
And those three, I think right now those three positions there's been a lot of contention raised about them. And so we think it's important to clarify and make it and formalize it so everybody's aware what it is. They understand the terms of that position. You know, we know when it started, if someone quits and we need to rehire, everybody knows exactly what they're hiring for and we can take applicants for the position. And if somebody's, you know, not performing in their work, we can terminate for cause or, you know, fire them and then notify people and let them know, hey, here's the job. And this is the scope of the work that you're going to do. So that's kind of why we want to have contracts for these three positions.
So Larry, this is Karen Fry. I don't want to be devil's advocate, but if they are hired employees, they should not be a member of the board for two reasons, because I think it's a conflict of interest. But secondly, it gives other people in the ranch opportunities to be a part of the ranch, not just the board, but those people who are employees are able to participate and contribute to things at the ranch.
So, Kurt, can you speak to that point? I mean, there's been a lot of heartache about, you know, Cindy having the role of, is it reservationist? But Kurt, I mean, you've been around longer than I have and aware of what's going on, but wasn't she doing a lot of this work for the past 3 years? And it was a transition over to her since we needed to get this done.
It was, Cindy has volunteered in cabins for 3 years and, she worked very hard. She's been very instrumental in helping set up the systems that we now have. When the division of these responsibilities that were suggested by Jennifer, it was a great suggestion by Jennifer, and it was kind of a shoe-in because she set up the reservation cleaning schedules. She set up everything else dealing with the cabins on Excel spreadsheets. We meet every Monday. We have meetings every Monday about last week, this week, and next week, so we know what's going on with reservations. We've had very few hiccups. We started those back with Mariah, and we've had very few hiccups in the reservations as far as operation side goes. And it was kind of a shoe-in for her to take this position over, identify it. And she stepped out of the room, and the board members voted her into that position. We considered everybody that had put it through their name in the hat, and she was simply the most qualified person to do it. And continues to be. It wasn't favoritism. It wasn't her choosing to take the job. She was actually asked to take the job.
She wasn't a member of. She wasn't a member of the board, correct?
She was not in the discussion when we had it. That is correct.
She was not in the discussion, no. She left the room.
I think she was asking if she was a member of the board.
Yes.
Well, right.
She did a fantastic job. She did a fantastic job, and I think everybody agrees to that. She was cordial. She was professional. She was great. But she wasn't a board. She wasn't a member of the board, which that gave her the opportunity to contribute to the ranch. And there was not a conflict of interest. That's how I see it.
Well, actually, half the time she was off the board and half the time she was on the board.
And it voted her on the board when she was doing those duties to begin with. So the majority did speak to this by voting her on. And they'll have the opportunity to speak to it again in 10 months now to vote her off if they choose to.
This is Mike McNichols. I just wanted to make a quick comment. And Cindy was volunteering with the, helping with the cabins before she got on the board, frankly. I think that's one of the reasons why she was, why she did get on the board, because prior to her being put on the board, she had been spending a lot of time and effort volunteering to help out the ranch with the cabins. The only point I want to make is this, that historically, members at the ranch have volunteered and provided lots and lots of hours and services and dollars with no expectation of reimbursement. And what I think, I think what needs to happen going forward is instead of relying on volunteers to provide services that the ranch needs, I think it is a great idea to contract those services with individuals that get paid, whether they're a member or not. And I also think that there's no conflict whatsoever if a member is on the board and getting paid for a service, as long as they're providing the service that's contracted for. The difference is, instead of relying on volunteers who may or may not be available, may or may not be willing to do things, you know, I think the right approach going forward is to contract for essential services with people who are competent to provide them. And in my opinion, if that person is an owner and a board member, it just gives them more of a vested interest in terms of being willing to do things the right way on behalf of the membership. So I see no conflict of interest. And I think, you know, for the specific question that's being presented right this minute, you know, should it be okay for, you know, the ranch to pay Cindy for that responsibility in that position? I personally think not only is it a good thing to do, I think it's the right thing to do. So those are my comments.
I have a couple of concerns also that I tried to bring up at the last board meeting. Agree with them, disagree with them, it doesn't make much difference. But if there's already a trouble defining whether they're employees or whether they're independent contractors, or whether they're an invoiced service, that create a different entity crawling up Deer Springs' butt that we don't want crawling up our butt.
From my perspective, there is no trouble discerning difference between the responsibilities there.
That, to us, correct. But if you've ever had one of those agencies, say the IRS, who's audited you, you can disagree with them all day long, but you still lose. If you have the money and the resources to fight them, you lose. So if say an entity like Department of Workforce Services comes in and says, we think this is an employee-employer relationship, and they should be W-2'd, that taxes should be withheld, workers' comp should be paid. We can disagree with them all we want. They're bigger than we are. They have more money than we do. How do we fight them, and who fights them? Who fight them?
This is a rabbit hole we're going down, and you're kind of throwing up some, you know, fear-mongering stuff that I've not heard any thoughts that this is actually the case. We haven't had any accusations of anything. You know, in our discussions here, sometimes we're a bit loosey-goosey in what we're saying, but the reality is all of the services we're providing are contractable services, right? They're not employees. So let's, you know, let's not go into the fear-mongering, and we could take this down a rabbit hole that'll really derail us off schedule. And a lot of people, you know, have things to do today. So I think this isn't something is worth talking about. But
So then are you saying that you will personally finance the ranch to defend itself against an entity of, say, Department of Workforce Services then?
I did not say that. I'm
members having to pay for it.
Jeff, you just raised the spec. You speculated on something that has no bearing in reality that I can see. So it's fine. Okay, I'm not sure who's going to pay for it, but we don't have. There's no threat, no risk. And if somebody does come in and say, this is a very. If somebody said or accused us of that, we show the books. They say, hey, you need to treat them this way. Okay, then we change how we did things. We would pay taxes. That's all it would be. It wouldn't be some drastic, drawn-out lawsuit. We would just make sure to adjust our how we worked to comply with the law. Right now, we think we are complying with the law. And the lawyer, the lawyer that we've contacted has said the same. And until then, until told otherwise, we'll continue to practice this way. So just because you think it's you're throwing out some speculation doesn't mean anything. You know, let's wait for an actual scenario. We are above board right now.
Real life scenario. You had your own business, Jeff. Did you do your role in employees, or did you contract that out to a payroll service?
I've had W-2 employees, and I've had 10 and NN employees.
That's not what I asked. Did you contract that out to a third-party service as an employer?
I have done both.
Okay, so and that's what we're doing. We are contracting those services out as a 1099 to somebody else. There is no fear of what you're talking about saying that they have to be an employee. Many, many, many companies contract out their administrative duties to third parties, and those are 1099. So this is not a concern at all.
Okay.
I do have a little bit of a concern because, and I mentioned this at last meeting, is 2 years ago we put out and approved by the board that if any job came up that it would be put out for membership to be able to put in for it. Now, if you guys are in your meeting and you guys, oh, I think you'll be great at this job and you will be great at this job, you're not putting it the option out there for other people. And I think it needs to be put out for other members. And that's where I'm feeling.
Where the bylaw?
Do you remember what meeting that was voted on in?
I don't remember what meeting. I do remember we discussed it and we voted on it. Larry, don't you remember that meeting?
I'm trying to recall. I you brought it up a lot over the last few years, but I don't recall the actual vote being taken, and I'd like to get that clarified somewhere.
I know it was discussed when we were holding a meeting in Barry's conference room in St. George. We did have discussions about that, and I don't think any of us are against that. Right now, we don't know what the position, role, compensation, that's all being developed. And I'm not opposed, and I don't think any other board member is opposed to saying, this is the position we're offering to the ranch members or to the general public at large. This is the description. This is the pay. If you're interested, put your hat in the ring. That's not the bridge we crossed at this point. And I kind of don't understand why everybody's so upset or defensive about it, as if we're trying to sneak something by or pull something over somebody's, you know, around the back door or behind their backs. If there's specific people that are really wanting these jobs, raise your hand, put your hat in the ring.
Send in your resume.
I think the problem is that nobody's aware that there's a job to have. How do you put your hat in the ring for something you don't even know exists? And somebody over here in my household actually did put their hat in the ring, and not one person had the courtesy to even talk to her about it. I think that's kind of the irritation factor here, is that there are people that possibly want to do it or participate, and sneaking in through the back door is exactly what has happened. So
Larry, that's a quick question.
Are trying to get corrected.
Go ahead, Karen.
We have a website of DSR members only. Why can't those jobs be posted on that so that everybody has an opportunity to say, okay, I'm qualified. I would like to be a part of this job or whatever. Then all the members who go onto that website will see it. Then they can go and do it. And I don't know if that's too much work, but then everybody is included, not just certain particular people that have chose to do that job.
I think that is a great idea, and I think that's the direction that we are trying to move. When things transition from Linda to Mariah, and from Mariah to Jennifer, and now from Jennifer on to Cindy and Danielle, it's a big bowl of spaghetti that gets dumped on the table and says, somebody needs to do these things. We can't just dump spaghetti on the website and say, anybody that wants to do these things, let us know. We don't know how much you're going to get paid for doing which part of this, you know, the meatball or the noodle or the sauce. We have to figure out what's noodles, what's sauce, what's meatballs. And right now we're paying two individuals, Cindy and Danielle Clarkson, to do those meatballs, noodles, and sauce. And in 6 months, we may have it totally defined and say, okay, now we know this is this particular job. This is the money it pays. This is your responsibility. Is there 1, 2, or 10 of you members that are interested in doing it and taking it on? I don't think Cindy or Danielle want this as a career movement. I don't think Kurt took on the ranch administrator, ranch manager position as a long-term career goal. So I don't want everybody being upset that we've pulled a sneaky. We're trying to define these roles, find out what actually needs to be done, how they interact with each other as board members, as members, as service providers, and then I don't think any of us are opposed to open it up to anybody that's qualified, and then I think we should consider any person. What are their qualifications? How do they fit into the system? I think we'd love nothing more than have 20 or 30 ranch members actively involved in operating the ranch. And some of those roles do justify paid service. Anyway, I think we need to move on. If any of you still have concerns or questions, I don't want to cut it short or cut you off or offend anybody, but we do need to move on. And so if you have something else, write it up, send it in to Bart, and he'll get it to the rest of us and figure out where we go from here.
Larry, was it decided whether or not to take a vote on the issue of creating contracts for these positions?
I think, personally, I would make a motion that we do create a contract. I'm at a loss to know how do we spell that out.
Do we need to do that? We already have the authority to do this administrative work for the ranch. I mean,
I think that it clarifies and goes toward transparency to have some kind of document that says this is what this person is doing, this is what they should be held accountable for, and that way board members and members alike can look at it and say they're not living up to what they're contracted to do. They need to be.
We already had a administrator, right? And now we're just dividing up these duties. Do we need, I mean, is this really?
Excuse me. I think that if you just did up the job descriptions of these, that's what you need right now. I don't, as far as somebody in contract.
Well, that's kind of what we're thinking about.
We have those right now.
Yeah, we're job descriptions and just a letter of agreement with somebody to do the work. That's essentially what the contract is. I don't think this is things we need to vote on unless am I new here. I mean, so please somebody help me.
I don't think a vote's needed. I think we've announced and talked about our direction and we're all on the same page and we let this play out the best we can. And if we're wrong, we'll fix those mistakes and continue going forward.
I vote for that. I second that.
Okay.
I agree with that.
Okay, so we have not received a second on creating contracts at this time. So we will table that and maybe take it up in the future if it's requested. It was requested that somebody did want to see the contract, so I wanted to make sure that if we had them, we provided them. We don't have them. We've given an opportunity here for member input on whether or not to create them. This matter is, at this time, closed.
We will have job outlines posted in the future. As soon as we finish those, the details of each position will be posted.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Moving on to other new business, it was requested at the last meeting for a newsletter to start being published again. It kind of fell off of the ship. And after last month's fiasco of Zoom, and my sincere apologies, I was given incorrect information about what was going to happen at the meeting regarding the Zoom. I think there was just several small miscommunications that happened that led to us not having proper equipment. We did the best of what we could with what we had. And again, my apologies that not everyone was allowed to participate in the discussions. I have not received any specific requests for any of the votes that we took to be readdressed. But when the newsletter question came up, everybody seemed to agree that it was a good idea. And I thought, well, this is a good opportunity to inform the people that were not able to hear what was going on at the meeting more fully about what did happen at the meeting. So I wanted to get that out as quickly as I could because people were clamoring for information. And I hope you found it helpful. The board positions was one of the questions that came up, and those have now been posted on the website, so that we're transparent on that, what all the board positions are. The minutes have been posted, and the newsletter has gone to everybody as far as I know. So I think at this point we will probably plan to do a quarterly newsletter, and I'm looking for volunteers to help with that. Right now the board kind of has its hands full. And if anybody is creative and would like to put together a lovely newsletter to go out to the members, we'd love to hear some volunteers step up. Any comments about the newsletter? Give everybody a minute to unmute if they want. Okay. Then we're going to move on. We need to discuss the water operator contract. Bart, do you have an update for us on that?
I have an updated draft of the certified water operator contractor. That has been floated around. I we had a water committee meeting day before yesterday, and we did address some additional items that we wanted to make sure to get into that contract. Just to be clear, kind of the original certified water operator contract really required, said, you know, sample and then keep us in compliance with the law. And that sounds great, but we needed to be a bit more specific. There are a whole lot of responsibilities associated with having a public water system that we've been putting on the certified water operator, and certified water operator has been doing that work, but kind of more on a volunteer ad hoc basis. The reality is we need to issue consumer confidence reports every year for our public water system. We have a cross-connection control program that we have to update every year. We have, you know, water samples that are annual requirement or monthly requirements and annual and triennial requirements for water sampling. And then if we have failures on any one of those tests, we have to retest. And we have to retest within certain time periods. And these are very specific requirements. And so I'm trying to make sure that this new contract incorporates a lot of those requirements for transparency of the members, so that we all know actually what goes into that contract and what's required. And we also can understand and make sure that the work that's being done is, you know, what we want to do. We're not getting extra stuff, unnecessary stuff being done. And right now, I don't think we are. I think Justin, he's been doing a great job as it is. So we want to make sure the contract is tight. One other task that's in there that we need to incorporate in there is the drinking water source protection plan. That needs to be updated whenever we have changes to our system. And those are all things that he has been doing. And so just want to make sure they're tied into there. So that's kind of the update we're at. I hope to have a completed contract for FY23 ready to go by the next meeting. That's all. Thank you. Any questions?
Any questions for Bart on the certified water operator contract update? Okay, thank you. Then we're going to move on to the brief report of areas of responsibility. Kurt, can we start off with you?
I have nothing else to add.
All right, John is not present. Larry?
I'm gonna give a little bit of a blurb or an explanation. John Harris is the road director, and so oftentimes, because I do operate equipment and work on the roads occasionally, I get different members calling me, texting me, or emailing me about road repairs. I'm more than happy to take those calls, but the proper thing is to shoot a message to John, make him aware of it, make a request. If there's a problem in your particular area of the ranch that needs to be addressed, at least go through him as the road guy. Chances are he may turn right around and contact me to work on it if I'm in that particular area or whatever. I think for the most part, the roads have been pretty decent. They suffered some pretty big monsoon damage, but most has been corrected. Put a plug in for the podunkers. All came together and did great stuff on the road out there, and other areas of the ranch need to follow suit. If you work together, pull your resources, equipment, time, effort, energy, it goes a lot further to get areas of Pipeline or Crawford or Slide Canyon or Broad Hollow improved with the help of the ranch and the ranch equipment and some possible finance and fuel, working with area members. Anyway, on to my area of responsibility. I just report that we received $14,045.99 for our participation in the Deer Fonsegant Landowners Association group this year. So that check came in, and I went to Mesquite and tried to double it. And no, I'm just kidding. I didn't. I turned it into the bookkeeper and went into the account, and helps pay for a lot of things. So it's good that we're in that program. It's going to see some dramatic changes in the next few years. I think next year, Bart may be able to tell me if I'm right or wrong, but I think next year is the last year of the current program. And it will change after that. It may affect us and it may not. It's all yet to be seen on exactly how the deer hunt, deer tags, and money management is done in the future, but we'll try to. Obviously, that's been a pretty good money source for the ranch general fund, and would love for it to continue as best we can, but we'll have to work within the system as it unfolds from the state. Go ahead, Bart.
Now, it's I'm not sure how much people are aware of the Landowners Association program that we have at the Wildlife Board or that the state has. But essentially this year, it was voted to reduce the multiple, the acreage multiple that landowners get. And that is what is used to kind of determine, you know, the value of those permits that we get and can sell, and the amount of permits that we get that we can sell. And then what happens is all of the landowners that are part of the Pontsagon LOA we sum all our land together. We have a bit of an acreage. There's a multiple applied. And then we get so many permits because of that. We're going to be getting fewer permits, which means that you can sell them for less, or you don't get as much money into the Landowners Association, and our check from that will be smaller now, is essentially what's happening.
The one good thing for us as Deer Springs is the change was made with the state, and what Bart's talking about is the multiplier. People that grew a crop like alfalfa hay had a much higher multiplier than open rangeland. Deer Springs qualifies 100% on open rangeland. So it's really going to hurt the guy down the street that's growing hay, and they're mad about that. And I agree, rightfully so, because there is more value in that crop than just open rangeland. But Deer Springs has always qualified for what we got based on our open grazing rangeland. So we're not going to be hurt as bad as, say, the guys down Johnson Canyon that are growing hay or over, you know, wherever else.
Yeah. And I'll do a shameful pitch just so everybody knows. I'm also I'm a non-consumptive rep on the Southern Regional Advisory Committee for the Wildlife Board. So if anybody has any questions or concerns or about issues that are coming up, please let me know, because this is the stuff that I deal with in another capacity. And I know people
different hat.
Yep.
Anyway, I think that's probably all I have to report. Some people had got on earlier and were asking about road conditions or snow amounts. The ranch did receive anywhere from 6 inches on the low country up to 18 inches in the high country. Most areas are travelable now because it's melted down or cleared or somebody's already driven through it. I know a lot of the roads in Slide Canyon I've cleared because I have ongoing jobs in that area. And where I stopped up at the Tammy Leavitt intersection, I know Aaron has plowed from there on up and opening up a few things. So there's plenty of traveling going on. I would caution people just to be smart. If it's warm and soft, please don't destroy the roads. Travel when it's frozen. Be safe. Take water. Take some food and some blankets in case you do slide off and get stuck in the clay and the mud and somebody doesn't come along to rescue you. Anyway, other than that, I think I'm done.
This is John Reed.
Hey, John.
On the road, you were talking about the backup a little bit. I feel that if it's put out on the board if it put out that there's going to be a work day on the roads. I think that we should work as an organization of the ranch, and not like we did at Johnny Brown, just our little organization there. And so I feel if we put it out to the organization, then I know I would go over and help Sly Canyon, or I'd go over to Crawford, or I'd go over to help anybody else. But we just need that information that that's going to be a work day for that time period.
I think that's a great suggestion, and again, I would direct you to get with John and see if he can put together those work days or weekend or something that we could work on specific projects. I can only tell you how I operate is typically if I'm working on a section or an area where I have, say, a personal client, let's say Jeff and Tina Collins have hired me to work at their lot, 121. The ranch is going to benefit because as I move equipment into their lot and as I move it out, I don't just drive. I work on widening trees, fire access, taking care of ruts, cleaning out the ditches, and about 80% of that is free, or I'm actually going to just double charge Jeff and Tina for their job so I can help the ranch. I do that everywhere. I just did a job, a little clearing job for Cade Hoff in the beginning of Crawford Canyon. While I was there, I completely opened up Pinion Nut Road because it hasn't had any equipment work on it for probably 10 years. So I corrected all the washouts, cleared, opened up trees, and I ended up charging the ranch about a fourth of my time just because I'm not gonna buy fuel for you guys. Sorry. I love you, but I don't love you that much. So as I work, and I make this comment for John just to know, I'm not intentionally cutting other people out of participating in my fun. I'm just working on areas where I'm already taking equipment. I haven't planned to go and do something in a particular spot. It just happens to be that's the day I move my dozer to Crawford Canyon to help Michael Jorgensen get his container up the hill. On the way in and on the way out, I did a few things. Hopefully in the future we can be more organized and make some significant projects that have lasting effects and help our budget by not spending John's whole budget just having a grader hit the roads that 2 weeks later you can't tell they even hit the roads. Anyway, I've taken up too much time. I'm getting this from Bart.
All right. So I've got, I'll initially, I'm director of membership responsibilities. I apologize to everybody for that email blast that went out. I know that stuff should go into BCC and not in the two. And so I am very apologetic that I messed up that way. So apologize about that. Will not happen again. I think we've already discussed most of the items that have been raised to me, I've forwarded those to board members. We've already discussed most of those in the meeting. There was one item that, you know, there was some concern about closing the cabins, and they would like us, you know, in the wintertime because of water. 100% agree, and currently we have to continue doing that because of our water system. I think the goal is that we can have year-round service at some point, but right now our system isn't, you know, can't support that. And as we improve it, we can readdress it. And I believe that's what we said at last meeting as well. So that's what we're going to be doing there. Moving on to my other hat as water liaison. Just want, so everybody knows, we have one public water system in the lower cabins, and that's, you know, managed or overseen by the state, the Division of Drinking Water. Then we have our upper cabin water system, which is not a public water system. And so really the Division of Drinking Water, Public Health Department have no control over that. Current status of the lower water system is we have 5 points under the improvement priority system that, you know, the maximum amount of points you can have is 150 before they will put a corrective action that they mandate on your system. Based on last month's sanitary survey, we have an additional 125 points pending that could be assigned to us if we don't correct some of those issues. Some of the issues are pretty kind of low-hanging fruit items that, you know, whether accessible, we should be able to do very quickly, putting some number 14 mesh over some of the blow-offs at the end of the system and at the drain valve at the tank. So those are some easy things that we can do, and that would cover around 75 of those points. And so as soon as weather is available, we'll make those fixes, and the certified water operator will make those reports to the state, and those will be off of the ledger for us. The one major issue that is going to take a lot more thought and money to solve is a deficiency. I know we probably talked about it a bit last time, but just to get into more details, 50 points that could go to our system, and essentially the five lots that are connected to the tank at the top of the airfield, those lots don't have adequate pressure, and so we need to come up with a solution to provide them adequate pressure. Otherwise, we'll get those points, and we'll have to – they'll force us some sort of solution. Either they get disconnected or essentially they would have to get disconnected. But we don't think that's an acceptable solution. We've looked at a couple of different options to maintain adequate pressure along those lines. And one of the concerns is the operational cost associated, the monthly costs that associate with this. So we're looking at what is the cheapest. We think the solution would be to put a tank somewhere on lots 144, 145. Our intention right now is, as the board, we're going to prepare a letter of intent or a memorandum of agreement with those two lot owners, so that would allow us to kind of look at a site, kind of site some sort of water lines and spot for the tanks on those parcels. And then at some point, you know, if they signed it and agreed to this idea, we would have an easement or something, some recorded document allowing us to keep and maintain our property on those lots. So that's kind of the direction we're going right now. And it's going to take time. It's going to require engineered drawings, updates, and it's going to be a lot of work to get done. Any questions on that?
Bart, this is Joe. Go ahead, John. Or Joe.
Yeah, this is Joe Bose, lot 107. In reference to hauling water, I understand there's quite a few people now hauling water for gardening. I think the board should go to the rules and regs on Section 18 and make a determination on how much water can be hauled by one person. The amount of water that money it takes to pump water for gardening should not be at the ranch's expense. That's my comment. Anybody home?
No, I'm writing it down. So okay, so yeah, I'll take a look at that. I think that what is it? I can't recall the exact amount. How much do we allow, Kurt? Do you have that on the top of your head, or
18,000? Yeah.
Four, five, yeah.
Each lot gets one share, 18,000 gallons.
Right.
And change. A month, which is enormous amount of water.
Yeah. So if each lot can get that much water a month. If they're hauling the water at their own expense, do we care? And they don't exceed that 18,000 gallons a month, which they're allowed to do.
It's part of the rules that it's not meant for agricultural needs. It's on the website that's part of the water hauling.
Yeah, but agricultural needs typically would be like growing crops, right? In a, you know, they're growing alfalfa, right? You know, typically when you're tracking water usage, you know, typical irrigation that you would do for gardening and ornamental gardening around your house, that's typically part of your 0.45 acre feet, at least in most public water systems. And if you're looking at an 18,000 gallons, I mean, that seems reasonable as well. I guess we could get semantic and try to figure out what the definition is. Do we have any, Joe, and you said they're growing vegetable, is it like a vegetable garden, or do we not want, is this something that we really want to stop people from like growing vegetables on their?
I'm not saying we should stop them from growing vegetables or having a garden. I'm saying if it costs us $150 to fill the 40,000 gallon tank, and one person comes along and takes out 18,000 gallons of water, why should the ranch pay for that water to grow gardens? The rules and regs say it's for culinary use. Gardening is not culinary use.
Bart, Vance.
Yeah, no, yes, Joe, you are correct. Vance, go ahead.
Yeah, intent is never, ever intended, ever, that people could take their 0.45 as water hauling. Ever, never, ever. And if our language is not strict enough on that, we need to fix it.
I'm sorry, so you're saying it's not, they can't get 0.45, or they're not supposed to be using it for?
No, 0.45 is a water right that's assigned to a lot, not to a ranch shared water system or hauling, which are more or less the same thing.
So 18,000 gallons a month is what they're allowed to haul, right?
No.
Is that what you said?
No, that's what the 0.45 equals.
That's what
I know. So in the hauling agreement, what can people take?
You guys got all kinds of flexibility there. Lots of language like to be determined by the board from time to time, yada, yada, yada. You just need to come up with the number.
All right, Bart and Vance, if I may step in just for a moment, it seems to me that all of the people that are on the water committee are here, as far as I know. And maybe this is an issue that should be brought up to the water committee and discussed among people that have more information about how our water rights work and all that than just a general board meeting.
Well,
because at this point, we're not deciding anything that impacts everyone.
Right. No, I understand that. So, but I do think, I'm not sure who has it. Kurt, if you have it as a ranch manager, you know, do we track how much water people get? And that would probably be how we should determine, instead of just throwing out arbitrary numbers. Let's look at what actual usage is, and then usage should determine that.
We would have to put a meter on the J station to determine. I mean, there's no way to track exactly how much each lot is hauling, but we could probably put a meter on it somehow. Brent Vance would help with that. That would determine how much water total is being hauled every year. That would be actually probably a helpful number.
Well, it should be fairly simple to contact the three or four or five people that are the biggest haulers and just get a history of how much they've hauled, you know, off the top of their heads. I'm sure Jeff and Tina could say, we typically haul X number of gallons per week or per month. Or who, you know, I don't know who all the water haulers are, but it would be fairly easy to determine, is there somebody that's even coming close to hauling 18,000 gallons a month? I doubt it.
But I also think we could just, it would be simple to just send an email to those people that are hauling water and remind them it's for culinary use and not for agriculture. Very simple.
Well, is there not a piece of paper that the people who are hauling water, they're paying the $50. Is there not I don't remember. I'd have to look. Is there not something that an agreement?
Debit. There's a water hauling agreement. I'm trying to find it.
Okay, cool.
I think
can't remember because we've been dealing with so much water stuff lately. It's just, you know, a blur.
There's a water hauling agreement, and I believe in it. It states culinary use, but I can't find it right off the top of my – I'll find it somewhere.
Yeah, well, all right. I'll look for it too, Michael. Right.
I have a comment, though.
This is Kevin Poole, Lot 64. And as a water hauler, I did sign the water hauling agreement, if my memory serves me correctly. It says both culinary use and 10,000 gallons a month are allotted to the water hauling. Now, when I was on my property, I was using around 300 gallons a week and growing some tomatoes and potatoes and other vegetables in tubs. So still using 300 gallons a week. Now, if you're going to eat up 18,000 gallons of water in a month, you're doing a whole lot more than growing a few vegetables at your place. So I don't think there's a real big issue with the people who are water hauling using this. I think we need to be looking for people who are trying to grow alfalfa or cash crops. That definitely exceeds culinary use. And define culinary, is that strictly for brushing my teeth and cooking in my kitchen, or does that include my ability to grow a few tomatoes out my back door?
I mean, I align with you on that, Kevin. But that's what I think makes sense. But, you know, if there are some scofflaws out there who are really abusing the system, we probably want to understand it and try to, you know, speak to them and prevent them from and ask them not to do that.
Yeah, I was going to make a comment about the term culinary use that I would recommend we steer away from that word because that means cooking. So that means I haul water and I can't use it for a shower because that's
incorrect. No. There's a state definition.
Yeah, that's a state definition. So that's culinary usage is basically household usage.
I thought that's like potable water. So
culinary and a public water system, as a public water system, are providing potable water. And so there's different ways. You can use manufacturing, you have culinary, you have agriculture. There's a couple other definition or, you know, categories in there as well. But culinary is this broad thing applied to a household. Gotcha. And so and something you can actually drink safely.
Well, thanks for that clarification.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to ask again that we move this to the Water Committee for further discussion and explanation and figure out, do we need to update the water hauling agreement and clarify things? But I think to continue talking about the water rights and the legality of it is just, it's just going to kind of confuse people. And
yeah, I think we're good. But I do appreciate Kevin's contribution there because, you know, I think a lot of people probably do grow some stuff there. I need to know that. And there's only a few of us on the Water Committee meeting, and we need that other input. So thanks. Let's see.
Bart?
Yes.
Bart, I did have a question. I know that you are our Director of Members, and I put out about 3 emails of some concerns, and I've never heard back. I asked to be put on the board, was not. Did you get a chance to visit with the board members on that we can discuss today?
So, Kathy, almost most of your issues that were discussed here have already been discussed. And at the end of this meeting, you're going to have an opportunity to articulate your concerns. As a board, we have the administrative authority for contracts. We do those. Not everybody doesn't like it. If they don't like it, you know, vote us out next time, please. I'm doing a lot more work than I thought I was going to as the board, but that's right. That's what I want to do. But I don't think I know the president did respond to your comments, and so I didn't feel like I needed to because she responded directly to you on that. I will, in the future, make sure to say, did you get those comments? I'll clarify that, but you had been responded to.
No, what I'm talking about is after she responded, I wrote down the concerns because she was asking questions, but what is it that you got concerns? So I wrote those concerns down and put them in a letter and sent to you all.
Right.
And including the some of the members, well, the members that were on Zoom and other people that had shown interest of the concerns that we had. So that is what I'm talking about. Not that I didn't get a response on that from you either.
In a few moments, you're going to have an opportunity to raise those issues, and please do. There was a lot of concerns and there was a lot of, you know, accusations and, you know, assertions of things that I don't know if they're true or not. It's hard to say. So please, in the next section, please, you have time. You'll have, you know, some time to talk about those issues that you have. So that's kind of, I had one more thing on water. And it's just going to be something that we're looking at right now is, you know, fencing around the upper cabin's, water source or the upper system water source. And so that's something that we're going to be looking at and finding out the best way to address it. And that's all I have. And again, and that's to keep cattle from coming in and trampling up that system. And that is, we do test that system, but we don't have the same rigor from the state for oversight. So we need to make sure we do the right things there, but it's kind of on our honor system to do it.
Yeah, this is Joe Bose. I got one more comment to make in reference to Kevin's comment. I don't stay up there year round, obviously. But I use approximately 30 to 35 gallons a day when I'm up there. So 18,000 gallons, it'll last me about 3-4 years.
Yeah. Okay. Now, yeah, we'll take a look at those numbers and make sure we kind of figure out what the right, if we need to actually specify a limit, then we'll look at that. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Bart. I'm going to move to Michael Jordison if anybody has any other comments regarding Bart's report. Please take them to the open forum, which will be coming up very shortly. So, Michael, did you have anything to add to your treasury report?
Yeah, I've got a couple things. I'm going to answer Jeff's specific question on budget. So in 2021, the budget was $14,160. The actual spent was $18,849. 2022 budget was $18,000. You've got the sheet. I don't know what we've spent so far this year. But that's what I'm basing my numbers on is the 2022 budget compared to what the proposed change is that has not been approved. All of that's still out there, and we'll work through that. But 2021 was $14,160. And the actual was almost 18,000, which is where I'm guessing the 2022 budget came from, is the anticipated expenses of what we actually spent. All right. And Kathy's question, website. I have spent an enormous amount of time on the new website. I'm currently talking with HOA Start, which is what was purchased. And there are some deficiencies that our current website provides that they don't provide. If we can't come to a reasonable workaround that's not a huge amount of effort on everyone's part to maintain, we'll continue with it and we'll migrate away from the original one. But at this juncture, HOA Start does not even meet our basic business needs. And until those can be addressed, I have no recommendation. They're trying to address them. They're trying to give us workarounds. But until I've exhausted all avenues, there's no answer on if we're going to continue with that or if we're going to abandon it and go a different direction. Any other questions on that, Kathy?
No.
That's it for me.
Thank you, Michael. Scott, did you have anything additional?
No, I don't have anything at this time.
Okay, So we're going to move on to the open forum for members. Please restrict your comments to 2 to 3 minutes.
I apologize. There was somebody asked a question of the treasurer in the comments that I did not address.
Go right ahead.
I got to go find the comments. Chat. I'm trying to read them. Forgive me.
Yep. It was me, Jeff Mickelson. I was looking to see if the TRT or the transient room tax was a line item because the county does require that to be paid on short-term stays less than 30 days, and I didn't see it anywhere.
All right, so I'm going to have to research that. I don't see it on there. I don't know if it's being paid. I don't know if we fall under that category. You sound like that you know we do, but I will look into that to the best of my ability. I don't have an answer for you, other than it's not there. All right, I think that was the only one directed specifically to me. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so... I just want everybody to realize that if something is brought up in the open forum as an item of discussion, the board is prohibited from voting on anything that comes up at this time or materially responding to it, but we do promise to bring it up in the future and take your comments to heart. So I'm going to open that up. Kathy,
okay.
Go ahead.
I'll go ahead. My internet kind of keeps going in and out, so let me know if it stops. I believe we still have a conflict of interest. I know there's several people that have commented they don't think it is, but I'm just going to say it because I put it out there to several of the members. I feel like there's some things that are going on, and I was one of the people that asked for Kurt's contract because I know that there had been some concerns and issues of the RV pad, park, whatever you want to call it, for the work campers. And Cindy kind of oversaw that. We paid $20,000 as members to put that RV pad in. And I'm not seeing that the RV pad work camper has been real beneficial or not. I haven't seen it. I know that I've had a couple members ask me about the being able to stay there, and they said no. I know that there's been some people, and they said that Cindy said no, and I said no. That's right. Cindy has said in our past minutes that we could not. But part of Kurt's contract is that he is supposed to be doing these cabin cleanup and stuff like that. He's hiring these people to come, these work campers to come. And I want to find out, do we have a separate tank, propane tank? Because you've mentioned that we provide the propane for these work campers. And how much have we been paying? And is there a log? And why are the members paying for it? Shouldn't that be coming out of Kurt's finance?
No.
I'm sorry. This is Kathy's. Kathy has the floor.
So that's my question is, we as members, are we paying for the work campers to stay there? And isn't it part of Kurt's contract to be, having these guys come and help him with his what is on his contract to take care of? That's my question.
Okay, and I can say that if you look at it that way, the members are kind of maybe paying for it double, but here's the thing, Kathy, and everybody, the caretaker position evolved and grew just like the admin position. The contract, Kurt's contract, for those of you who have looked at it and for those of you who haven't, is when I looked at it, I couldn't help but laugh. It's kind of ridiculous because it basically says you'll take care of everything on the ranch, everything. And it's so all-encompassing that once to expect one person to be able to do this, even in the winter, much less the summer when there's so many other demands on their time. So even – and let me clarify the work camper spaces, the RV spaces was something that was proposed many, many, many years ago. And was brought up again at several meetings that I attended, several board meetings that I attended. I was not on the board when it was decided to do this. I believe you were, Kathy. So to say, to kind of characterize it as, you know, my thing.
I'm just
responding, and I just want to clarify. I just want to bring to get rid of a few misconceptions. Yes, I was all for it. Yes, I was happy to see it, and yes, I did have some input on its design. The initial proposal did include for 3-member pads as well as the work camper pads. And as far as I know, that is still, we're waiting for that to, for the money for that to be given to get those pads finished. But the infrastructure is there. I believe the water and the septic is kind of set up for it. It's just a matter of getting the pads in and getting that going. So I appreciate your comments. As far as the propane, the propane is being used to prevent work campers from freezing in the winter or at really cold nights. Yep. We have had work campers when it has been over 100 degrees, and if you've spent any time in an RV, you know that they do not tolerate 100-degree-plus temperatures. The work campers, you know, they're not paid. They are volunteers. And part of the reason, my understanding of why it was decided to put that in, is that we had a very difficult time getting volunteers to volunteer to clean cabins. And, in fact, for the first year or two, I was the only one doing it. And then Cindy Poole volunteered. Thank you, Cindy. and we've had very little response. You know, repeated requests of members to come help clean cabins have resulted in virtually nothing. So that's what those are about. And, you know, if somebody thinks it's unfair that those work campers, while they're there, can have propane to keep themselves warm and gasoline when needed to run their generators to when it's over 90 degrees or 100 degrees, then that's an issue. But you have been heard.
That wasn't my question. That wasn't my question. I think they should. My question is, who should be paying for it?
May I speak to that, please? So first off, the work campers are not volunteers. They're getting a free place to stay. It's a transactional relationship. They get a place to stay, and they have to do work. And in that place to stay, we provide them water, and if we provide them gas and stuff like that. Now, it would be good, but this has only been in effect for, what, a year now or so? The work camp, 2 years now, the work campers. So we should, I think, the ranch manager, we should be determining what is the value of that propane. I think Kathy is correct. There is a cost there that we need to understand. And if we don't understand it, we can make a lot of assumptions, and that can drive, put us all down the wrong path. That should be included as part of, if that's part of the agreement, you get a place to stay, you get utilities to stay there, and utilities in my mind here would include propane, you do 20 hours of work a week, right? That's what they're supposed to be doing. And so does that should make, give us a good bang for our buck. And if it does, then we should all be fine with it. If we think somehow the ranch is not getting its money's worth, then we can readdress this. But we should understand the amount of propane used and make sure that they're doing the 20 hours a week and make sure and see how that balances out. And if we're fine with that, we continue moving forward. If we're not fine with it, then we either up the hours or we put a max on the amount of propane they can use.
Okay. All right. Is there any logbook? Have we been putting any kind of system in place for this? Because right now, I know there's several members that weren't aware that we were paying for their propane. So it was never discussed. Is there any systems put in place for that? And is there a logbook so we can keep track?
Those are good points, and we will bring those up at the next executive board meeting or board meeting.
I mean, okay. Is that something we need to bring up in a board meeting or just ask the ranch manager to track?
That's something we can ask the ranch manager to track. Yeah, you're right.
Ranch manager.
So Bart.
Or establish a system to track. You know, that's all we need to do.
Establishing.
Okay.
Another member?
Hey, Kevin Poole.
Yes.
Kevin Poole here. Anyway,
go for it, Kevin.
I would like to address this because I'm probably the longest tenured work camper that the ranch has seen to date. I've done it now for 9 months and counting. In those 9 months, last year we provided Cindy with a hourly log of all of the work that we put into the whole work camper situation. And the responsibilities and duties of the work camper go far beyond just doing some cabin cleaning. Let's just talk for a moment about laundry service. Now, if we as a ranch wanted to hire a laundry service to do the, at minimum 50 loads of laundry a month and up, we're presently washing every bed cover, every comforter, every blanket, every sheet, every towel from every cabin on the entire ranch. We literally have done over 100 hours of laundry alone in the month of October. Now we're going to talk about having to go down to the comfort station and remove and replace the heavily soiled, vile and disgusting toilet that was plugged up, could not be unplugged with a power auger, which subsequently broke the toilet, that was still full of nasty God knows what, that had to be removed, and then all of that went into the comfort station floor, that I personally had the joys of scrubbing all of that out of the comfort station. And then we're going to talk about how much of my time and money and gasoline that I burn in my own vehicle doing these things, and we'll talk about chainsawing up firewood for cabins and for visitors with my saw and my gasoline. Not that Kurt didn't provide one. There was one there to be used, but I just preferred to use my own saw because I'm familiar with it. I know its quirks and how it is to run and all of the above. When you start to break all of this down, the amount of money that the ranch is receiving from the work campers, and God knows how many hours the lady before us put in, and then Pat before her. Kim and Pat through the summer did unbelievable amount of work, and Cindy herself, the untold hours that she pumped into this. My invitation is for anyone with a complaint about the work campers, get your RV, come on down, set up next to us, and experience what it's really all about. Then let's talk about what the standard of the industry provides. I was offered the position of work camper at the hitching post in town and opted to come out here. And for that, I got free room and board, all the electricity I could use, all of the propane that I could use, water and sewer. Okay? Now, I get zero electricity out here. I have to provide that for myself. That means that I cannot run electric heat, electric water heater, electric refrigerator, anything else. I have to do all of that on propane. You will not get a work camper to come out here and do even one-tenth of what I have done if you're not going to provide me more than just a little bit of water and a place to flush a toilet. So just from the perspective of the work camper and what we do and for how much compensation we receive for doing it, and yes, thank you, Bart, it is a compensated position. I do it because I care about the ranch. I do it because I want to give back. Cindy and I were the only people that were non-podunkers to go assist in the podunk road. We have exhibited our effort as team players out here in more ways than just being work campers. So if there's any other complaints about the work campers, please come and see perfectly. Thank you.
Kevin, that is not what the point is, and I have appreciated you. I've appreciated what you've done. I know you and Cindy have worked hard. That is not the point that I'm trying to make. So if you think that that's what it's about, I'm sorry. That's not what I'm trying to say, because I know you guys have been a real value to the ranch.
But so I think
not my question.
And so Kurt's going to be tracking the propane just, and it's good, I think, just for the ranch manager to track that, just like we should track all the hours. If and sorry, I'm jumping in on this, Cindy.
That's okay. Go ahead, Bart.
You know, if the work campers are doing more than 20 hours a week, and we know that it takes more than 20 hours a week to get the work we think they should be doing to get done, we need to understand that. Now, we need to understand what we're asking of them. And, you know, if we are able to put in more work, more sites, maybe we should offer it to work campers instead of to members, just so we can get that work done. I'm just throwing that out there. But if you did 100 hours a week, 100 hours of laundry in the month of October, I mean, that's 20 hours more than your total work. What else did you do, right? So it sounds like there's a lot of work being done, and we're getting a lot of benefit from the work camper. So it's a great program, and we need to make sure they stay. They keep coming back, and that means we need to provide services for them, and we do, but we do need to track what we're providing them.
Just so everybody knows, we do regularly track the hours worked. We do have some information on that. Now, if somebody wants to be the next person up in the open forum, please raise your hand.
I'd like to make a comment.
Jeff's been kind of waiting. Can we go to him first? All right, Jeff, 2 or 3 minutes, please.
So this is kind of to Kevin, because we know them, we're friends with them, they work their butts off. I think what Kathy was trying to get across is all of the things that you mentioned, the laundry, everything, we're already paying a management company to do those things. We're providing them a house. We're providing them vehicles to drive. We're providing a lot of things. So when you calculate that expense, what Kathy's saying is if it's Kurt's job or the caretaker's job, whomever that is, that we're paying to do these things, but they're being delegated to the work campers, which we're also now paying to create the spaces to pay for the propane, then we're basically double paying for the same service. So we're paying twice for somebody to do the laundry. We're paying Kurt to do the laundry, but he's delegating it to the work campers, and we're providing fuel for the work campers to do the laundry. It gets really complicated. So what she's saying is if the duties of the work campers are the responsibilities of the caretaker that we're paying, why isn't the caretaker the one covering those costs instead of us covering those in addition? That's all.
Okay, let me, since you directed that at me, I want to answer that. Okay. You've stayed in a motel, right? Hotel? You've rented a room at the local Holiday Inn or whatever. Okay. Did the manager come and clean the room, or did the cleaning staff come and clean the room? The manager's in charge, but he delegated that job to someone else. Now, define Kurt's contract. Is Kurt's contract just cabins, or is it infrastructure on the ranch? Is it going out and hunting down some poor lady who got lost at 10 o'clock at night the other night? Is it hauling people out of ditches? Is it running the generator at 3 o'clock in the morning to provide water for the people in the lower cabins because the trough blew the cap off and all the water leaked out? From what I've seen, having worked with Kurt side by side now for 9 months of my time on the ranch, is that he's the catch-all for everything. Everyone's answer for everything is hey, Kurt, and also hey, Larry. And thank you very much, Larry, for being the other guy who's the catch-all out here. But there is absolutely no way that Kurt's compensation for the management of this ranch at the current rate that it's at even comes close to the responsibilities that everybody wants to put on Kurt. There's no way that one human being could do all of that. It's physically impossible. On season, cleaning the cabins alone is more like 40 to 45 hours a week at minimum for one person, you know, at minimum. The 100 hours we put into it already was off season. That means that the uppers are already closed, which we closed them. So you're only looking at a 50% of what goes on in on season. And when it's heavy on season, that 40 to 45 hours goes up exponentially. There's no way that Kurt Jacobson can do that, can go fix roads that have blown out in the monsoons, can fix water systems, broken water heaters, toilets. I mean, you name it. The amount of work that the man actually does, you have no idea unless you've walked a little while in his shoes or even close to him to observe that. It's easy to sit from a distance and have an opinion of what he does or doesn't do if you're not in the trenches with him, if you're not actually out there doing it. So, I mean, once again, I encourage anybody that's questioning what Kurt or Cut does or does not do, please come and walk beside him for a little while. You'll get a new appreciation for the guy. So anyway, I'm going to leave it at that. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Kevin. And I think we're clear on what Kathy's criticism or her concern is, and that is that, hey, we're already paying property manager or the caretaker or whatever position he is holding at the time. We're already paying him. Why should we pay more? Why should we give propane to these people? And if you're paying attention, we've got, if we have two sets of work campers, that's 30 to 40 hours a week just cleaning cabins and taking care of the cabins. If Kurt was going to work 40 hours a week, he would be doing nothing but cabins. And so if we want to be taking it out of Kurt's pay, we're going to need to raise Kurt's pay. In order to raise Kurt's pay, I think it would be appropriate to raise our annual dues, and I don't think anybody here wants to do that. If people want to start raising the dues, let's start talking about that. We've been trying to find solutions over the past many years before I was on the board and since I've been on the board for how do we get all this work done without running off property managers. We've not been able to keep them long because we work them to death. We criticize them to death. And then, you know, who wants to do that job? And then constantly be under attack and told you're being paid too much. So that's all I'm going to say on it. And does somebody else want to take 3 minutes to discuss? Somebody who hasn't yet had the floor.
Oh, Kurt.
Raise your hand. Oh, Kurt.
Yes. I just have some comments. I came on board, as Kathy mentioned, and I totally get Kathy's point. But I came on as a management company to analyze and look at the ranch and find out why we've gone through so many caretakers in so few years. And if somebody with less thick skin that I have were here during this time, they wouldn't be here now. The goal has always been, continues to be, that we work within what we're already spending as much as possible, and that not giving me a raise. I never asked for a raise in the 3 years I've been here. My current contract has two more years. I didn't ask for a raise on that because I'm trying to get more done with the same amount of money. Well, the work campers was something that we all voted on. Kathy voted on it. We all understood it going into it. and we created the work camper site. We still have the other three sites to go. But the goal is to cover more so the ranch isn't so run down. And Brent Fulmer and I have done a lot of work on infrastructure. There is during the summer season, it just finally dawned on me this summer, I really can't make plans for projects because in the summertime, because the demand is so heavy on me from the membership and from the monsoons, because Larry's gone. And, but the goal is to expand what we can do without spending more money or a lot more money. And that's what it continues to be. And it's just like the bookkeeper position, the admin position, the definition is being redefined. We're breaking it out and it is my contract ridiculous. I knew it was ridiculous going into it. And I went into it with my best foot forward. I continue with my best foot forward. And we're redefining things. So trying to put Kurt back into cleaning cabins and having your thumb on him is putting him into a position where why you've lost so many caretakers in the past. So we're trying to resolve that problem. And as soon as we resolve that problem, I would be more than happy to just go live on Lot 90. That's all I have to say.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. Does anybody else want to have a discussion for 3 minutes, have 3 minutes of the floor? Please raise your hand.
Yeah, this is Joe Bose.
Okay, Joe. Hi.
I got a I don't need a comment on this, but I like to make a comment in reference to the gardening people hauling water. Some of the new members may not remember Fred Searle, but he used to haul a lot of water for a couple of apple trees he was growing, and he would go down to Pond One and pull the water out of the pond. I don't know if the board wants people to do that or not, but we don't need culinary water for the gardens. Maybe they should just pull water out of the ponds. That's all I got.
Thank you. We'll talk to Larry about that. You're in charge of ponds? Okay. So I'd like to make the motion that we adjourn the meeting.
We need to schedule our next meeting.
Oh, you are absolutely right. The December meeting has, my understanding, historically been for budgeting. The board has taken the time to review the budget, and with our new treasurer, I think we want to do a pretty good, thorough job of that. So I believe the next board meeting will be January 14th. That's what I've put on the agenda. If there's any objection.
We're going to skip December?
We're going to have an executive meeting to go over the budget in December.
Got it. Understand.
Get that sorted out.
Sorry, that was not clear to me. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so the next meeting will be January 14th, 2023. I put 2022 on the agenda. I'm sorry for that. If everybody wants to correct that to 2023. So is there a motion on the table to adjourn?
Do we know where or what type of meeting we're going to hold January 14th?
Oh, it'd be a Zoom meeting. And I know some people don't like Zoom meetings and would prefer to have them in person, but we have a significant number of people on the board that cannot attend in person. And when we do a combo, we have problems with audio and that kind of issue. So at this time, I'd like to schedule a Zoom meeting for January.
I actually think that when the equipment's working right, these Zoom meetings can be as productive or more productive than the in-person meetings with too many noise and wind and commotion. Obviously, I would love to be at the ranch in person anytime and every time it's available, but weather prohibits. I mean, I'm headed for the ranch right now. As soon as we say amen, I'm going. Got things to do.
I think today went very well. We were cordial. We took our turns. I think this format, and just like other Fortune 500 companies have gone to. If it's good enough for them, I think we can work through it. And every time it's available at the ranch, we should do it.
Okay.
I make a motion to adjourn.
I will second.
All right. I'm just going to do an all in favor on this one, if that's okay, Michael.
Yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right,
adios.